crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's live almost every Saturday, the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub Saturday nights. Well, as you know, we only have people on this show that are excellent guests, and this man is not only a friend of mine and the entire show, but he is one of the true legends in the field of the paranormal. There's no question about it. You've seen him on TV. You have read the books that he produces. How do you summarize a man that some simply call Mr. UFO, even though he is an expert on so much more? His name is Timothy Green Beckley. Welcome, sir, back to Speaking of Strange.
Well, you know, Josh, after that introduction, my rates have just gone up.
I bet they have. And you know
well,
what?
It's always good to be on your program. It feels like family.
Well,
In fact, I think it is family if you look around the studio there.
Yeah.
So I've just got back from Arizona. Every year I take a little adventure out west. You know, I love to travel, and I can never get enough of it, although it has gotten a little bit hairy there in the going back and forth. You know, they try to put you on so they can fill up the planes instead of going, when a six-hour trip becomes 15 hours by the time they get you on two or three different planes by the time you get out there. You know, getting a little bit, it's not as great to travel as it used to be when I was 20 years old, you know, and I'd fly on the wingtip in those days.
Right.
Yeah, when Pan Am was still around, but not anymore. But we were out there, and we gave a little lecture in Tucson for Alan Benz's UFO group. He used to be the librarian for the APRO, the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, long since disorganized or disbanded, but he still every year has a little meeting or organizational function, you know. And then with my friend Sharla, we took off down the road in her gas guzzler, headed towards Sedona. Spent a couple of days there. Always a great place to spend some time. It's not only a New Age conclave, but of course an artist colony of a sort. You know, there's all sorts of places to look at art and sculpture and many fine restaurants. Well, I remember you were down there recently and ran into the gal there who is on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah, that's right. I sure did.
In fact, I was also, every time I go down there, how could you miss eating, brunch in the coffee pot? And so we did. In fact, I don't know if I told the story last time I was on the air, and if I repeat myself, I do apologize. But, there is something strange, of course, about Sedona. It's a great vortex area, and everybody is talking about the 2012, of course, next year. I know I'm not a big believer in it. I don't think anything's going to happen. But, you know, I had a brunch, and when I paid for the bill, the total with without the tip, now mind you, just the total and the tax came to 2012. Now how is that possible? It's right across the road from, and I have a photograph to prove it. And unless it's programmed into the machine, they have to pop up, as a winner or something every few days. I mean, again, that's just totally uncanny, and that's another one of my synchronicities. And that's what kind of could be a little bit frightening, except, like I say, I don't think anything is going to happen, at that point. In fact, aren't you headed for Mexico or some exotic place to celebrate?
I'm going to throw a huge party on December 20th.
Yes.
Because I think the local time here on the East Coast, it's going to be like 6 in the morning or something.
Count me in. I mean, I'm going to celebrate with you because, boy, you know how to party.
You got that right. Yeah.
I can take that that reward anytime. And also, I just want to say here that when you were out in Arizona, you were going to come on and give us a live update, and I want to apologize to you.
And, you know, I called the station first. I got the newsroom. Then they said, well, call the show. I could hear you, but you didn't answer me.
that just, you know, I've never done that in almost 8 years of doing this show.
I knew, you know, I figured, well, maybe, since I was on my cell phone, I figured, well, maybe he got the number wrong. So I'm calling it, and I hear you there with the Dave, you know, Dave Schroeder. And I said, well, that's an excellent show. I'm getting to hear the program, but they don't answer my call. And I did it. Sometimes I'd get a busy signal, and then I'd dial again, and I could hear you. I don't know how that all works there in your, you know, your engineer's booth or even where I was calling. But I said, well, maybe they'll answer the phone, thinking that I'm, you know, a listener trying to call in.
Well,
it didn't work, but here we are with an extended version anyway.
Well, I'm glad because now when you went out west, you actually you contacted me first and said, I would like to get some equipment to properly investigate, and you did receive a device from Mr. Mobius.
I did not get any instructions with it, so I had to go kind of just wing it. Now, let me tell you this, Josh. Everybody in the town of Jerome has some sort of equipment. They walk down the street and this thing is flashing on and off. I mean, they got big ones. You know, it's like the town that belongs to the Ghostbusters or something like that.
Wow.
In fact, there are more spirits in the city of Jerome than there are living people there. There are approximately 440 of those that, you know, live in the town. And gosh knows how many ghosts are running around loose. Prostitutes, miners that were decapitated, people that were caught in fires. It was one time known as the wickedest town in the West.
Huh.
And people that live there, of course, believe that. And it is a very exciting place to go. I mean, it's about the only place that I've ever been that I would say the place is controlled by the spirit world rather than, well, maybe Casadega down in Florida, but this is, you know, slightly different. These are real spirits afloat in Jerome.
And so when you were there, what exactly was your main goal? Did you want to see a ghost or document?
No, see, I had been in Jerome last year, just for briefly. And the people, you know, we were talking to people on the street, and they said, you know, that there are ghosts all over this town. And I said, yeah, sure, right. You know, it's, you know, a commercial way of bringing in the people to your city if you don't have any other reason to get them there. But I did a little research on the town, and I found out that there must be something to this. I mean, just for example, just walking the streets there, we would ask people at random, have you ever had a strange experience here? Now, there was a gal who was a waitress, I believe her name was Roxy, if I can recall, working at one of the restaurants there, and at first she just kind of, you know, brushed me aside. But then finally she came back to the table, you know, and she said, funny you should mention that, because there's a gal who's more into the spirit world than I am, she related. And she said, now, we were at the table in the front, but you could look upstairs, and there's a balcony. So I'm looking up there, sometimes I was raised in a haunted house. I mean, I've been on the show, and I've discussed some of this stuff. So I am a little bit psychic. In fact, you know, I organized actually the New York School of Occult Arts and Sciences in the late 60s and early 70s. Which was probably one of the first metaphysical centers in the country, I would believe. So I've dabbled in this. I'm more of a writer and a researcher than I am a psychic, but once in a while I do pick up on something, and it's fairly uncanny. So I was staring up at that balcony area there, and the waitress says to us, well, she said, there's another gal who works here is a little bit more into this, you know, paranormal stuff. And she says, every time she walks up the stairs to the balcony, and I guess they serve up there as well, you know, when it's really busy, she senses something, and a couple of times her ghost alarm or Ghostbusters thing there goes off and starts flashing. Then she said, you know, there's been a problem here the last couple of weeks. with the bathroom door locking itself, and nobody can get in. And, you know, I said to myself on that one, I said, Josh, that sounds like somebody's pulling a prank. Mm-hmm. But later on, after eating, I went into the restroom, and I locked the door behind me, of course. And I'm looking, and there's no window in the place. It's the kind of bolt on it where you couldn't, once you lock it, you can't get out unless you turn it in the opposite direction. You can't lock it and walk out, or you can't, you know, you can't rig a wire or a coat hanger or a credit card or something like that. So if she's telling the truth about that, and I have no reason to doubt that she would be doing that, that seemed pretty strange, too, that this door is locking itself and nobody can get in. I don't know how that would be possible unless the spirit of Houdini were wandering around.
And so you, therefore, had an experience kind of right off the bat that showed you maybe there actually is some...
Oh, you know, we talked to the this one fellow who runs the local tour company. His name is Ron, and also Ron is one of the historians at the local Jerome History organization, or society. And he's been collecting this material for many, many years. And now, the town of Jerome, it went over. Okay, let me give you a little bit of history on this.
Okay.
Back in around the 16th century, Spanish conquistadors came through the Verde Valley. They had heard a legend that the Knights Templar had buried a vast treasure there. There were supposed to be seven cities of gold. Exciting already, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so they were in search for the king of Spain for this these seven cities, or at least a vast treasure. Now, let me tell you, this area is so hot that when you wake up in the morning, it's already 102. You'd want to crawl under a rock if you could find one.
Yeah.
Well, I assume from what I've read on this that the temperature was not quite as it is today. But still, these conquistadors wandered through the valley with the local Native Americans in full armor, chain mesh armor and helmets in honor of the king, and they came to find the gold for the grace of God. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Indians happened to know of a place in the mountain called Cleopatra Hill where they had been getting their own copper, silver, and a little bit of gold. So they told the conquistadors, to go into this particular... Well, I don't think they ever got as far as maybe the entrance to the mountain. Well, the town of Jerome was built on top of Cleopatra Hill. Now, the first residents of Jerome, I guess the first of the mines that opened around there were maybe in 1870. Jerome, population-wise, came and went. At its peak, there were 15,000 people living there, miners who basically worked for the different mining companies that were there. Well, there was one major mine company. And I guess a few independent prospectors who had gone out to seek riches on their own. Well, the town is built on the side of a mountain. There have been 8 or 9 fires that almost destroyed the town, and several slides where the actual town or buildings in the town slid down the mountain.
Wow. Okay.
So if you look at some of the photographs. You can Google Jerome, Arizona, and you'll see some of this. In fact, I'm preparing a very lengthy article for a magazine out of England called The Paranormal.
All right. Well, Tim, I tell you what.
Publication, and that'll probably be out, sold at Barnes & Noble here. It'll probably take 6 months before it appears on the stands here. But
I got to cut you off just for a break because this is a great point to pause because I can't wait to see what you discovered when you dug in further to find out what was the backstory to this place where you investigated. I'm talking right now with Timothy Green Beckley. Go to conspiracyjournal.com if you want to learn more about the kind of research that Tim is doing. And when we return, we'll find out exactly what he explored there around Jerome, Arizona. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strain.
An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw plowing through the ragged sky, and up a cloudy draw. Their brands were still on fire, and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny, and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky. For he saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yo,
we're talking about those spirits of the old West. And Timothy Green Beckley was right in the middle of them, Jerome, Arizona.
Gosh, I'm so glad you played that bumper music there. As we rode down 89A to Jerome, we were singing Ghost Riders.
Were you? Isn't that okay?
My version is a little bit different, and of course I've forgotten all the lyrics, but yippee-yi-a.
Well, the synchronicity continues. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. So now, Tim, let's pick up where we left off. Tell us more about what you found.
Okay, well, now, like I mentioned earlier, Jerome had a reputation for being the wickedest town in the West. Everything was legal there. There were opium dens. Liquor, you could get drunk on the street 24/7, and more bordellos than probably in the Vegas area there. But it was just a wild, open town, gunfights, stabbings, and many of the people, especially the girls of the night, were killed by their customers. Some were knifed. Some were strangled. In fact, Sammy Dean, I believe her last name was a very beautiful gal, had a lot of regular clientele. And apparently she was strangled very brutally one night. Her ghost is wandering around the town to this day. And, you know, Josh, I had the feeling that I was actually representing these, all the spirits there, most of them who were downwardly, what would you say this? They were rough, you know, they didn't have maybe the same protection that you and I would have, although we've gone to probably different towns and not had too much protection either. But it was, you know, it was just something that I felt that I could get their story out to the world, all the misdeeds that had been done to them. So now, Sammy worked in I believe it was Diamond Lil's or one of the bordellos there, and she was strangled, and they never brought anybody to trial. But a lot of people believe that it was the mayor's son who was responsible for her murder. And he apparently had taken her to dinner the night of her death and asked for her hand in marriage, proposed to her, you know, and she turned him down. And I guess he was just took revenge, and she was murdered during the night. And the strange thing is that he left town and was never seen again. So the stories go on and on here, and I do believe it's the only town that I've ever encountered where the living need the dead to survive, and the deceased need the living in order to survive and to get their story across. Now, we stayed in a place. It was called the Ghost City Inn. Two-story structure, I think six or seven rooms, and we had the miner's suite. Now, every room in this particular bed and breakfast is said to be haunted. Probably every hotel room in town is. In fact, the owner, Jackie, she is the co-owner, along with her husband, who is the chief of police in Jerome. So even if you're a ghost, you better toe the line there, I would guess, right?
Yeah.
So we were doing we were in the show in this particular room in the suite, and in each of the suites there is a ledger where people who have guests who have stayed overnight or for a longer period of time have actually written down their experiences. People reported that they were they were nudged, the blankets were pulled off of them. Somebody felt that they were being stuck with the pins. Now, the former owner of the bed and breakfast when it was a boarding house was a gal by the name of Grandma Garcia. And I guess she took over the place in around 1920. And throughout this time, apparently it was used as an illegal gin mill or still or whatever you want to call it, right? Apparently there was a trap door. Because even in Prohibition times, you could buy, alcohol there. There were something like, 17 bordellos and 29 bars and 15 opium dens and what have you. A real rough and rugged town. Anyway, one evening, there was a big explosion in Grandma Garcia's boarding house. It was used for it was used for miners. They stayed there in the place. There were so many people in town and not enough rooms, for everybody to stay, that she would come every 8 hours and kick the cot that somebody was sleeping on so they could get up and go to work at one of the mines, and somebody else could take the cot, to sleep for 7 or 8 hours. Anyway, one night there was an explosion, blew out all the windows, part of the chimney came down. Apparently there was an explosion with the illegals still in the basement. Well, it is said that Grandma Garcia's ghost comes back. She was so afraid of a fire after that she would not allow any open flames, cigarette smoking or anything. So if you're staying in one of the rooms and you have a pack of cigarettes or a lighter, she'll move them on you, even to this day. That's Grandma Garcia. She's one of the spirits at the Ghost City Inn. There's also a cowboy that vanishes, that wanders around the hall. Jackie, the proprietor, was saying she was vacuuming one day upstairs, and she saw this dusty old cowboy, with a long trench coat, leather trench coat, just kind of wandering around. And she said she figured, well, maybe he was looking for the restroom. There was a common restroom on the second floor, and she said, I'm sorry, there's no restroom here, it's open to the public. Anyway, he went into the restroom, and he kind of vanished around the corner. When she followed him in, there was nobody there. Now, other people have also reported seeing this specter, and he will walk through walls and just vanish, and I understand even leave a little bit of dust from the ground there, And like I said, there have also been a lot of fires in town because the earth is full of sulfur. And there's also this fellow, Headless Charlie, they call him. He was one of the miners, and he was killed in an accident there. And they find impressions of his footprints in the ground around several of the mines where he worked at the time.
That's really fascinating, because I'm always intrigued with how the ghostly forms are able to pick up bits and pieces of physical debris. It reminds me of how you can do a ghost investigation and sprinkle flour or talcum powder on the floor, and if a ghost passes through, it will disturb that. So I can see how that in that situation, a ghost could actually leave some dust or some other type of physical trace behind. We've got about 1 minute till our next break. So altogether, would you think that if you could go back to Jerome, having done this sort of preliminary investigation with a bunch of equipment, that we might be able to document some great stuff?
You're the man with the equipment. Like I say, I go by intuition mainly. I would think that going back, with equipment and a crew would be a very great, idea. And apparently you don't have to be too psychic in order to have an experience in town. I mean, there are, like I say, people who don't seem to be overly intuitive or don't claim to be psychic who are experiencing these ghostly phenomena on a regular basis.
Okay, when we come back, I want to talk also with you about the concept of how ghosts and immortality in general may relate. And I don't know if it's something that is still provided in bizarre or conspiracy journal, but there was one thing that always intrigued me, the Saint Germain's immortality kit. And I want to ask you about that when we get back. See, what is in the immortality kit and whether or not it works. Are you going to live forever? I'm talking with Tim Beckley, my friends, and he publishes countless volumes of fantastic books. In fact, my whole collection of Charles Fort books came from Tim Beckley, and they're just wonderful prized possessions. The Fortiana is based upon the work of Charles Fort, and I implore you to go check out conspiracyjournal.com, where you can get for free Bizarre Bazaar or Conspiracy Journal. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we'll dig into that and more when we come back. It's Speaking of Strange. Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The irony is, in the Old West, when all these wild things were happening that have now become an integral part of American culture, most of the people were actually a little more courteous to each other than they are nowadays, because, well, when there's a six-shooter strapped to everybody's side, they know there are potential real consequences for being discourteous. And it was a big deal when two men stepped out into the street, but usually it didn't even happen that way. It was sitting late night at a poker table with half a bottle of whiskey drunk, and somebody would just whip out a gun and bang, that was it. But, you know, when it comes to the idea of ghosts in general, what we're really talking about is some semblance of immortality, that there is some part of us that may live on after the so-called death of the physical body. And One thing that I relish is the periodicals that Timothy Green Beckley produces, Bizarre Bazaar, Conspiracy Journal. And just one thing I'd like to ask you about, Tim. I don't know if you still have this listed as a product, but for a while you had Saint Germain's Immortality Kit. What was that, and does it work?
Well, I'm still alive.
Well, that's a good sign. That's step one.
It's worked so far. I can't tell you the content of it. Now, you know, immortality kit, let's face it, none of us are going to live forever unless it's in the spirit world. I would call this more of a rejuvenation type of a product than actual immortality. The kit was not devised by me. It's actually from the late Reverend William Alexander Orabello, who did many of the fantastic books that continue to sell, even though he's been deceased for over 15 years, books like Sacred Magic and God Spells. I would say he's probably the most popular arcane author, spiritist. He followed Alec Kardec, who was a very popular, still is to this day, has actually millions of followers in Brazil and in Cuba. Vaguely similar to spiritualism here, but a little bit different belief systems. You know, spiritualists, the church of spiritualism, does not believe in reincarnation, but Alan Kardec and the spiritists do. Very, you know, a little minor different points. But Orabello was a master of this, and of course he told me of the occultism and metaphysics and all this arcane esoteric knowledge. And he told me the story about Count Saint Germain. In fact, there is a book, if you Google it or go to Amazon.com. You know, most of our books now are up on Kindle. We have about 50 books on Kindle. If you just type in my name at Amazon, you'll get every book that's up there. Probably got about 60 books on Kindle. But the story goes is that Count Saint Germain is the man who lives forever. He was an alchemist who reigned supreme probably during the 16th century. He was at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. He knew almost every king and queen throughout Europe. And he always looked like he was in his mid-20s or early 30s, you know, very, very young. He kept that youthful look throughout his life. And he's apparently said to be alive today, residing, well, I guess the last physical materialization would have been on Mount Shasta. Guy Ballard claims that he actually came across him wandering through Mount Shasta, the woods of Mount Shasta, back in the 1930s, and started his own religion, which was called the I Am Movement, which grew at one point to have actually, I believe, well over a million members worldwide. The organization still does exist today, but it's far a shadow of its past. And when Count Saint Germain is still supposed to be with us today, he's an extremely wise individual, a member of the spiritual hierarchy that supposedly guides this planet.
And so you have imbibed, shall we say, the contents of the kit, right?
That we have.
Yeah. So do you think in 300 years you might be walking around Mount Shasta?
Well, if you have a show, I'll be on it.
Well, maybe I need to buy one of these, too.
Well, it's I won't tell you the price. It's not extremely expensive.
Yeah. But I don't know if I want to live forever.
The first one is free.
What? Really? why do you need two, then? Just to give to friends?
Well, it only lasts you a while. You got to go back and...
It's progressive. It's like a vitamin.
You know, I've never had a... I don't think I've had one complaint on it. It's actually also very good for, like, your complexion and things along that line. In fact, I would say more, probably 70% of the people who purchase that would be women who are looking to keep a youthful appearance.
Yeah.
Just like perhaps the Queen did back in 1525 or something like that.
The lady who Bathory, who was bathing in blood of virgins.
You know, well, I don't. I'm not sure. But one thing also about, like I say, apparently Count Saint Germain had discovered the formula for alchemy, because when he would appear in the courts of the kings and queens, he would always present them with some fantastic jewel, and he was able to materialize. Some pretty fantastic diamonds and other sapphires and so forth. It's a great story. And that's what we do with Bazaar and Conspiracy Journal. We try to keep, people ask me, well, do you believe all of this? And, I'm not an expert on everything. I know you think I am, and certainly many of your people in your audience do. But, I'm fascinated by this, and I have been. Since I was, growing up, I lived in a house that had a poltergeist phenomena in it, lights going on and off and doors opening and closing. In fact, Brad Steiger told this story recently on Coast to Coast. We got a big guest for George Norrie. My grandfather on my father's side of the family had seen the spirit of a headless horseman in Kentucky. We believe probably the a soldier of either the Union or the Confederacy who has had its head blown off by a cannonball. So I grew up with this.
Yeah.
And it's something that's always fascinated me, and I do as much research as I possibly can on this. I have not run into Count Saint Germain personally. That I know of. Perhaps I have.
That's true. We'll put a plea out there right now. If Count Saint Germain is around, we want him to make contact.
He's probably dropped the count by now.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back here in the final minutes, I have a heartfelt request for my guest.
I'm not going to tell you who Commander X is.
He knew it was a Commander X request. I know you're not going to tell me, but I have an alternative way of seeing that we can compromise.
Offer me $1 million.
Well, maybe I will. I have an offer.
There you go. If you do, I'll tell you. I'll expose it right on the air.
Okay. I've got an offer for Timothy Green Beckley. Go really honestly, folks, to conspiracyjournal.com. Give him your mailing address.
Free,
I swear.
Free DVDs. In fact, I have a DVD of an interview that I did with you. I toss it in the books that I send out. It's a great little interview that you did in my penthouse here,
And that's right.
Yeah.
Right next to the Empire State Building. It's true.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes.
So, please, folks. I mean, honestly, when I'm at my house and I just want to relax and get away, I pick up a publication by Timothy Green Beckley. I swear that's the truth. I mean, if you ever go into my bathroom and sit down and relieve yourself, you will have plenty of entertainment provided courtesy of Timothy Green Beckley, and it's all great stuff. ConspiracyJournal.com. We'll be right back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speak.
Brother running this Buffalo soldier. Look, it's like I told you. Any damsel that's in distress, be out of that dress when she meet Jim West. Rough neck, so go check the law on the by. Watch your step, reflect, and get a hold of your sides. Follow your pride, don't let your lip react. You don't wanna see my hand where my hip be at. With Artemis from the start of it, running the game. James West, taming the West, so remember the name. Now who you gonna call? Now who you gonna call? If you ever riff with people wanna bust, break out before you get bum rushed at the Wild Wild West. When I roll into the Wild Wild West, when I stroll into the Wild Wild West, when I bounce into the Wild Wild West, this goes. Madman lost his damn mind in the West. Loveless, kidnapped or down, nothing less. Now I must put it behind to the test. Then through the shadows, in the saddle, ready for battle. Bring all your...
Right now, wrapping up a conversation, a great one as usual, with Timothy Green Beckley. Now, Tim, you do publish the Commander X books. And for those who've never heard of Commander X, he is a secret military informant expert guy who just reveals the inside story about how the world works, the conspiracies that are the mechanisms behind what we see occurring around us every day. Fascinating, wonderful books. If, Tim, the immortality kit does not work for you, what do you say you put the identity of Commander X in an envelope, you send it to me, and I give you my word, my solemn oath, that it will not be opened unless I live longer than you, and I will open it at the appropriate time after your death?
Put that in writing.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
I will. I'm happy.
I'll think about that, but... Now, here's the situation. Here's the situation, Josh.
Okay.
First of all, if I told you who Commander X was, I'd have to have you assassinated.
I understand.
Second of all, it doesn't really matter. It's the information that's important, not the identity of the person. In fact, if I told you today his name was Bill Smith, it would mean nothing.
Well, but look at Deep Throat.
Yes.
Nobody knew Deep Throat was.
Yeah, this is not... This is not a name. See, people are looking for somebody that they recognize, like a Bill Cooper, who, of course, is no longer with us. They're looking for somebody, you know, like a Bob Lazar or somebody that they can immediately identify. And Commander X, if I told you who he was, the sales would plummet. And... It just wouldn't matter because nobody would know who he was. See, I mean, it's not a name that recognizable. So, and I don't know why people make such a big thing about it, because a lot of authors use pseudonyms and nom de plumes and whatever they call it. But it doesn't matter. And for your safety and the safety of those on the show, I will keep it a secret.
Well, I think once the name is revealed, and it will eventually come out, you know that. You can't control it forever, Tim Beckley. When it finally comes out, that name will mean something. It will be a famous name, and there will be all kinds of research done. And then...
I
kind of think you're a Commander X. I'll be honest. You're Commander X.
I've never been in the military, so how would I know these things? But now, here's an interesting story. Had you ever had Jerry Smith on your show?
I did, numerous times. Great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Of course, he's passed away. Well, Jerry Smith claimed that now Keith... I can't think. Oh, my goodness. Wrote a couple of books with Commander X because they needed polishing up. That was Jerry Smith's best friend. Apparently, Jim Keith, right, told Jerry that I had asked him to come to one of my conferences dressed in like one of these pilot's suits, you know, where you can't, with the visor and the whole bit, so you couldn't see the face of the individual, and give a lecture. Well, I think Jim Keith was just trying to be pulling Jerry Smith's leg, no doubt over a local brew down there in Reno, because that just it just never happened, or if it did, I certainly don't recall. But Jerry Smith, I guess, always thought that Jim Keith was Commander X, and the truth of the matter is that he simply ghost wrote or edited a couple of the volumes that were just not up to, my high standards.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know what? We are out of time, but it is always fun to talk to you. It's always
now,
just
Josh,
nothing but a joy.
You know, you're my, Speaking of Strange is my favorite paranormal show. Where else can you get the scoop on the Dark 30?
That's right. We don't jerk people around.
You do on the Dark 30, I guess. Okay. Be that as it may. Well, don't forget conspiracyjournal.com, and if you're interested in more on Jerome, that will be in the Paranormal magazine in a few months. Looking forward to it at Barnes & Noble. My friend Brian Allen, who's done a lot of research on the Roslyn Chapel, is the new editor over at Paranormal UK. And have a good evening and a great week and a wonderful immortality life.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Timothy Green Beckley. He is one of a kind, a national treasure, my friends. And honestly, go to conspiracyjournal.com, give him your address, see what this guy sends you. It's always fantastic. It's fascinating. Nobody else is like him. It's Speaking of Strange.